Praise his name. Father, we thank you today for the incorruptible, inerrant, anointed, all-powerful word of the living God. It's able to change us, to renew us, Lord, to do so many miraculous things in our lives. And that's why we love it. We love the truth. And so, Father, we open our hearts and lives to your word in this moment. And may it have a great entrance into our lives. And may it find a resting place to always abide. In Jesus' name, amen. So now, we are looking from a portion of scripture here out of Psalm 119, and you can turn there, please. Psalm 119 and verse 18, where it says, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." What we're concerned about is the conversion of our souls. We're concerned that our souls would begin to cooperate with the Spirit of the living God who dwells in us, our born-again regenerate spirit. We're concerned that our souls would be an ally, a right-hand man to our born-again regenerate spirit, and would begin to cooperate and work with our born-again spirit. Because when we think of what the scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, then we see the power that we have to project our thoughts to our soul, as David did. And he said, "Soul, why are you cast down?" So he communicated with his soul. He understood somehow by the Spirit that he could do that. Now, only God can communicate that kind of knowledge to you. Only God can make that real to you. Again, the things of God are foolishness unto a carnal mind. Amen? A carnal-minded, unspiritual man cannot perceive or understand these things. And so they would say that this is foolishness. God points that out in the scripture. But we know that we are a trinity in ourselves. We are spirit, we have a soul, and we live in this physical body, just as God is a trinity. And so there's communication between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And in the beginning, God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." And therefore, he did what he desired to do, and there was total agreement in the Godhead. And there has always been total agreement in the Godhead. There's never been disagreement in all of eternity in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Everyone has functioned in that Trinity for the one and self-same purpose. And because we are created in God's image, there has got to be harmony in our being as well. Between our born-again spirit, our souls, and our bodies. And you know this from my saying it so many times, that primarily the trouble that we would have in our lives is going to be projected out of our souls, you know, because the soul is like an untrained person in our family. And it has to be disciplined, has to be taught, has to be instructed, and then brought into compliance with the will of God, the revealed will of God. And there's, from the scripture, we found out that the soul, you know, has eyes, perceptors, as it may be. The eyes of our heart should be filled with the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, according to the scripture. So there are perceptors in our souls. Our souls are there to perceive and to see and to take action on what it perceives and it sees. But it has to be directed. It has to be trained. See, And this is where the development comes in the life of the Christian. Because your born again regenerate spirit is absolutely perfect. But your spirit craves the word of God. Your spirit craves worship, desires to be in the presence of God, to hear from God, to commune with God. And that's why the scripture says that our spirits cry, Abba, Father. You know, and someone would say, well, why don't we hear that? Why don't we recognize that? It's because we have been trained to listen to all of the other voices in our lives. You know, there's a lot of work that has to take place in the life of a believer once they're born again. You know, and the born again experience is just the beginning of this whole development process. And it's not automatic. And so as we begin to get into the scripture and we fall in love with the word of God, then the Holy Spirit can begin to direct the word of God to us in a way that it brings about revelation to us. And we're able to see what God is doing in our lives, what he's bringing about, what he's trying to develop, what he's actually saying to us personally, and why. Why he speaks to us the way that he does. Because we are, in his estimation, being developed into sonship. And you say, being developed into, I thought we were the sons of God. Well, we are, and we are yet to be. Because the scripture says, as many as are led of the Spirit of God, they, it's very specific, isn't it? It says they are the sons of God. So there are many born again believers that are failing to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, which disqualifies them from this intimacy with God. And that's really what it's all about. It's about true intimacy with God. That's what he's looking for. And that's what he desires. It's true intimacy. And the intimacy that God wants, you know, it's deep, and because it touches everything in your life. The secret feelings and desires that you have, you know, this intimacy causes you to take it before God and present it to him and talk to him about it. Not to sit around and keep it to yourself as though you would be ashamed to talk to him about the secret desires and things that are in your heart. But see, the intimacy that God desires for us to have is one whereby we're not ashamed to approach him and talk to him about the deepest, most secret things of our lives. Because he knows it anyway. But you see, he wants you to be willing to talk to him about it, about those things that he already knows. Why? Because that brings you and I to a place where we're able to walk in more freedom. Right? We're able to walk in more freedom. See, the devil can only work in dark places. That's the only place he can work. He does not identify with the light whatsoever. And where the light of God's word is in authority, the devil cannot operate. He can't function. And so, but you see, if I'm not willing to talk to God about those things in my life, then the devil can develop and set up a stronghold, even though I'm born again. And I can be like, you know, a drunken man that doesn't know what he's doing when he's caught up in his intoxication, but then he gets sober. I can be like that intoxicated man that loses sight and loses consciousness of what I've done. And I find reason and I make excuses for it. And then I come to soberness and I don't have a remembrance in me of what I've done. That's what happens in the life of a Christian, because we don't allow God the intimacy that he wants in our lives. So it's very important for us to communicate to our souls what the will of God is. Begin to train our souls to listen to the revealed will of God and to command our souls to direct that information to our minds, our wills, and our emotions. Do you hear what I'm saying? You know why you can remember things? You know, in school, we had to exercise our ability to remember things. We had to, if you could remember things, you know, in a good manner, in a precise manner, you could do better on tests. Whether you fully understood it or not, if you could just remember the answer, you could do good, right? And you could win awards. But that doesn't mean that you really fully understand the lesson. You can understand how to do math equations and not understand why in the world they chose to do it that way. I haven't a clue. But that's the way it's done. And I can see that that's the way that I get the answer that I need. So I memorize the formula and I work the formula and I get the answer and I pass. My whole goal in this thing is to pass. I don't know why in the world I even have to have the subject. I mean, you know, what in the world do I need? You know, square roots and all of that stuff, you know? But I know how to do it. I can see how to do it, so I'm going to remember that. And so I exercise my ability to remember. Now, the reason I exercise my ability to remember is because of something that's going on the inside of me that really resides in my soul. In your soul, if there is developed in your soul a desire to excel in whatever it is you're studying, automatically you have the ability to remember that. Automatically. If you really, see, because desire comes out of a man's soul. See? And when desire is fulfilled, what does the Bible say in the book of Proverbs? It says it's sweet, right? When it's fulfilled. Do you know that when you really desire something in your soul, you get creative? Have you ever noticed that? Now, some of that stuff can get over into a Jezebel spirit. You know, when a woman will look at a man in a certain way with her eyes and bat her eyes and twitch her head a little bit, you know, and bat them eyes. And it's all based in her desire to get him to do something. I want that pink one. And see, you get real creative, right? You can get real creative. Because your soul has that ability, right? So what we need to recognize is that'll work in the kingdom. That'll work in the kingdom. When I woke up this morning on the inside of me, I like to lay there. My wife and I have been practicing this. When you wake up in the pre-dawn hours, before you begin to activate all of your facilities and go about your business, you lay there and you know that you are about to wake up and you're about to come to full consciousness and you are about to get on with your life for that day. But there's that still moment, that quietness where you're laying there and you can see, it's almost like an out-of-the-body experience. You can see that you're there and you know what you're about to do, but you're just laying there in that peaceful rest and you're not moving. Isn't that a wonderful time? That's why you want to take an alarm clock and chunk it into the toilet and flush it when it comes on. You know what I'm saying? So you lay there in that still moment and you can communicate to God right then in a very sweet way. And we've been practicing doing that, just laying there in the pre-awaking moments when we've got a consciousness that we're about to wake up and we begin to go to God and just think to God and just talk to him in that still moment. Amen. And so this morning, as I was about to arise, the thought kept coming to me to speak to my soul and to command my soul to communicate to my mind, to my will, and to my emotions what the reveal of God, the revealed will of God is. Right? You know as well as I do that other thoughts, all kinds of thoughts can come to your mind early in the morning. Right? I mean, thoughts of breakfast, thoughts about what are you going to wear, thoughts about what you're getting ready to do. And some of those things can get negative and they can become worrisome. And you can get up with trouble and pressure on you as you begin your day. And that's not how God wants you to begin your day. Amen? So this just kept coming to me. And other thoughts tried to creep in. There were pictures of things and thoughts, You know, because the devil likes to give you a picture message, doesn't he? He likes to give you a picture message. He wants to show you something specific and get you to focus on that. And then he'll feed thoughts to you based on that picture and what he's trying to develop in you or get you to start your day out in, so that you won't be walking by faith and not by sight. Are you with me now? See? So there was a pitch, there was pictures, there were thoughts that were coming to me that weren't from God. And every time one came to me, I quietly said within myself, soul, your responsibility, is to communicate what the revealed will of God is to my mind, to my will, and to my emotions. Because you see, that's where the devil tries to communicate things to you, in your mind, in your will, and in your emotions, in your feelings of the flesh. That's where he tries to communicate, and that's why where he tries to operate, right? So if the soul has this ability, then we need to direct the word of God to it more and more. Amen? And when this scripture says in Psalms 119 and verse 18, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law, this is where I'm going with this. The eyes of your heart need to be open. We know that you're not going to get revelation through your physical eyes. Are you? You're not going to get revelation through your physical eyes. Neither will you hear spiritually from God through your physical ears. Right? Neither can you feel the things of God in your flesh. All of those, the auspices of the body, those senses are designed for earth living, earth dwelling, things that have to do with the here and now in the earth realm. But you see, we've been translated out of darkness into light. We've been brought into the kingdom of God. So now, even though we're able to operate in our five senses, our natural senses, which are connected to our humanness, our bodies, and we can do that fully, our primary objective should be to learn how to walk in the Spirit so that we do not fulfill the cravings, the desires, the passions of the flesh. And see, the cravings, the desires, the passions of the flesh are not always evil. And we shouldn't allow our minds to always go there whenever we begin to talk about this. Because there's a lot of good things that can get you out of the will of God. There's religious activity that can get you out of the will of God. You understand what I'm saying? So we need to know the difference. So when we think about opening our eyes so that we might receive and see, perceive, understand wondrous things out of the law of God, we're directing that to the soul, because the eyes of our heart need to perceive the light of the gospel. Because the soul, your soul, needs to be converted. It has a function to fulfill in the kingdom of God. It has a function to fulfill. It has something to do. God has ordained that it be useful to you and not a hindrance to you. Are you with me? See, God's will is that it be productive on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Be fruitful. Amen. And bring about things that will be absolutely miraculous. Yes. Hallelujah. See, God has a plan and a will. He has a way to do whatever he does in our lives. And it's past time for us to understand how God works in the life of a believer. We've been focusing on so much having faith to get things. It seems like that is a primary objective in most churches, is to have faith in God to get a particular thing, whether that's healing in your body, you know, or some kind of financial thing, you know, something domestic, you know. And we direct a lot of our messages toward that, don't we? Yeah. And so the consciousness in the body of Christ is about God taking care of them, right? It's kind of like the self-preservation that we feel when we were sinners. That self-preservation, taking care of ourselves. What do I need to do to secure this for me? That's self-preservation. Now, Jesus didn't think that way when he came, because if he was thinking about self-preservation, he would have been sending fire and lightning and all kinds of stuff toward all them people that were persecuting him and trying to crucify him. But what did he do? He laid down his life so that we might have life, didn't he? He left his throne in glory and took on the poverty, which is humanness, fleshly life. He took that on as a covering, right? So that he could identify with us as a high priest that's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But he didn't live by feelings. But he was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He didn't do what he did in the spirit by feelings. He didn't accomplish God's will by feelings. Hallelujah. He didn't go to the cross motivated by feelings. Come on now. But what did he do? He was touched with the feelings of our infirmities so that he could identify with exactly how you feel, so that he could direct the Holy Spirit to teach you what you needed to hear, which would get you over your feelings, beyond your feelings, victory, absolute victory over what we call feelings. And yet so many people in the body of Christ are missing that, and they're living out of their feelings. And they're using their feelings to try to get God to do things. Totally wrong. He's not a sentimentalist, and he's not a feeling God. He's a faith God. But our faith has got to be more Bible-centric. It's got to be more Bible-centric. What does that mean? That means that your faith has got to be, you know, motivated in you by knowledge. It's got to be motivated by knowledge and not so much, you know, your feelings of self-preservation. I mean, the Apostle Paul got so beyond living his life for God based on his feelings that he was able to take a whole lot of junk. Man, he took so much on himself, bearing up in his body, right? The suffering of the Lord Jesus in his ministry. He said to some of y'all, we look like we're completely out of our minds, right? Look like crazy people. We're gazing stock to people as though somebody's going to some freak show. Some of them think we're out of our mind. He said, but regardless of all of that, what we're doing for you. Selfless living, selfless living, self-sacrifice for somebody else. That's what a life of Christ really is. It's in living your life for somebody else, laying your life down so that they can make progress and become all that God wants them to be. Isn't that awesome? See, that's where your calling really is. I don't know where a lot of these individuals that call themselves ministers get their idea and their concept of being a minister from. But if you don't have this sense that you are to lay your life down and give yourself up for the benefit of somebody else, why do you want to be a minister? Amen. There again, I think self-preservation is in a lot of that. We're thinking about a position, a secure place, and prestige, and all of those things, and from the people and from your denomination or whatever it might be, and that looks good to you, so you want to be involved in that, right? And you think you're smart and you got something to say, you know, and you want to share it with people because you think it's cute and they like that, and maybe you have a talent to talk, right? Maybe you do have a talent to talk. And you can just communicate. But what are you communicating? And is it beneficial to the body of Christ? Or is it just interesting? Huh? Come on. Maybe what you really need is a talk show. Get out of the ministry and get you a talk show. Amen? Because there's lots of folk out there that just like to listen to interesting stuff. But we're talking about ministry here. Amen? So now if I'm going to be the person that's going to be able to flow in my gifting, my election, my calling, my anointing that God is prompting me in, I've got to get some victory in the area of the conversion of my soul. Amen? My soul has got to be involved in what I am doing because I need some control in myself, some Holy Ghost control in my life, on my life. Holy Ghost control. And it's not there if my soul's not involved in it. It's just not there. Because my soul is there to communicate things to these areas in my emotions and in my mind and my will. See, he's got to communicate to the rest of my being. I mean, when you really get down to it, you know, I got to pastor myself. Right, yeah, I got to pastor myself, my being. I got to make sure that this church right here, this temple of God right here is ran right. That true worship goes on in the inside of it. And that each member of it is living like they're supposed to live. What does the Bible say? The body was created for the Lord. Right? So my mind has got something to do for the Lord. My will has been called of God. My emotions is a member of this church, and they have something specific to do. My mind, my will, and my emotions are supposed to all be a part of the helps ministry. Amen. They're supposed to help me in what I'm called to do. And they've got a function, see. But the soul, you know, the soul is my assistant to make sure that my mind, will, and my emotions are directed in the manner that God wants them to be directed, with the kind of balance and stability and consistency that is ordained of God, so that I walk as a whole person. What does 1 Thessalonians say? Chapter 5, I pray, brethren, that you would be preserved blameless until the day of the Lord. That's every part of you. Has a great function in making sure that my mind, my will, and my emotions are preserved blameless. Right? See, there's various different kinds of sins that you can commit. Sins of the flesh and sins of the spirit. It's just not sin, period. It's just, there's sins of the flesh and there's sins of the spirit. What would be a sin of the spirit? Well, if he says as many as are led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, and you disobey the Holy Spirit and how he's leading you, you just sinned against the Spirit. Right? All right. All right, the Holy Ghost starts talking to you about your diet. Oh, we don't want to go there. Listen to all them, listen to them little, sound like little chickens over there on starting to cackle. Little chicklets, you know. The Holy Ghost starts talking to you about your diet. Now, it's one thing for your wife to talk to you about. It's another thing for the Holy Ghost to talk to you about your diet. Now, see, what your wife is doing is preparing you. Because when the Holy Ghost steps in, he starts saying something about it. You better be by that time willing to do something. You can debate, you can argue with your wife, or, you know, maybe your husband in your case talking to you about what you eat. You know, you can debate, you can argue, and you can say, I don't want it. You can do all of that with that spouse, right? But when the Holy Ghost steps in and he says something, and you refuse to do what he says, you've just sinned against the Holy Spirit, right? You've sinned against the Holy Spirit. Because there's a reason why he's telling you that. He knows how your body is functioning. And whether you need to have a vegetable diet, 3/4 of vegetable, a very small amount of meat, whether you need to stay away from red, he knows how your body is functioning. He knows whether you need to stay away from red meat altogether. And he knows you don't like to hear that stuff. It doesn't have anything to do with whether you like to hear it. He's talking about keeping you alive so you can fulfill what God has ordained for you to fulfill. That's what it's about. Because if you let the red meat kill you before you get to these folk that God wants you to reach with the gospel, then you're going to have to stand before God and tell him why you love meat more than you did. And that ain't going to look too good. A piece of meat? Come on now, that's not going to look too good. So see, I mean, God is involved in the deepest, most intimate things in our lives. And it's very important that we pay attention to it. Right? Because see, God, it seems like God's not in a hurry to do what he does, but it's not so much that he's not in a hurry. That's not a good word because, you know, God doesn't get in a hurry. He's got everything under his control. He knows exactly where everything is, what's supposed to happen in the next few seconds. It's under his control. Even in chaos, there's order because God's there. Right? But you see, he's working with us because he knows exactly who you're supposed to meet at 3 minutes after 12 on January the 2nd in 2013. You don't have a clue. You ain't got it on your calendar, but God has it on his. Amen. And he don't want indigestion keeping you from getting up. Come on. He don't want the gout. He don't want the gout keeping you at home. Come on now. Amen. High blood pressure. See, if we do what he tells us to do, we will be where he wants us to be when we need to be there to accomplish his will. Amen. But so, I mean, the primary issue here is our souls being unconverted. We battle obeying God. See, because there's enmity there that we haven't rooted out, and the enmity will continue to be there until we thoroughly train our souls. See. And it's not that hard to train your soul. You just have to begin to direct the word of God to it. And you have to wake the soul up and make the soul recognize that you know what its function is and you know what it should be doing. And I will not take no for an answer. See? But, you know, the soul is just like, you know, a little puppy. You know, the puppy loves you. Your soul loves you. He's trying to give you what you want. And, you know, all the stuff you shouldn't have, he's trying to give it to you because he loves you. But he needs to be trained so that he'll begin to direct his attention toward what's best for you. He has to be trained, see, so he can direct his attention toward what's best for you and begin to communicate that to you. And then when that gets in your mind, your will, and your emotions, you have more balance. You have more control. Even in domestic things, buying stuff, selling stuff, all of that begins to come in line. So you begin to have a balance there and you have a good life, a really good life. You begin to experience what the Bible calls contentment. That's when you begin to experience it. See, when you begin the soul begins to operate like he's supposed to. But he has to be converted. Got to be converted. And it's not that difficult, like I said, but what you have to do is you've got to be knowledgeable of it. And then you have to begin to direct the word of God to your soul. See, God is already by the Spirit giving you scriptures that is in line with this. But it just sounds good, tastes good, smells good to you, but you haven't really known the purpose of it. Right? Everything has purpose. Every word of God has purpose that he sends to you. Wouldn't it be nice if you knew exactly what the purpose of every word of God was? Woo, Jesus. Oh, had that understanding. And standing on the mountaintop of your Holy Ghost, born again, regenerate spirit, you look out like Moses did on the land. And God say to you now, everywhere your feet tread, I'll give it to you. Everywhere you go, everywhere you place a step, it's going to be yours now. Now it'll be yours. Why? Because you have understanding now. You can't do that before you get understanding. You kill yourself with the blessing. That's right. You'll kill yourself with the blessing. See? But once that soul has been trained and you understand what God wants to do, then you can begin to step in directions, realizing your steps are not random. Come on. They're not without purpose. But every step that you're taking now is ordered of the Lord. Because he says the steps of a righteous man. But a righteous man is doing stuff God's way. And we've been claiming to have our steps ordained of God because we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but we haven't always walked in it, which means we haven't fulfilled what he desires to fulfill when he says, I'll ordain your steps, or I'll order your steps. Right? It's like walking with a pair of shoes on and enjoying them, but they don't belong to you. Amen. But God wants you to take ownership of them rock ports. Amen. He don't want you to rent to own it. He wants you to possess it. Come on now. See, the whole idea of rent to own is it really ain't mine. It's costing me, but it's not mine. Now, when I say that, I'm not coming against people that, you know, they got the 43-inch television in the house that they're making payments on with the rent-to-own thing because they want a theater. They want a home theater. I'm not coming against that. You know, that's their faith. That's where they are. That's what they believe they can do. But God wants you to realize, as kids of the kingdom, you don't have to rent anymore. You can take possession. Right? Now, if my soul is thoroughly educated in this, my soul is going to comply with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to begin to hear my Holy Spirit talk to me. Whereas all of these years, I've been listening to the voice of my flesh, the voice of my emotions. I've been listening to the voice of my passions and feelings. I've been listening to all of those voices all of my life. And they've gotten me in trouble most of the time. I have done stuff that they told me to do. And it's got me in trouble. Got me in big trouble. Right? And so, but see, now if I will allow my soul to be converted by the Word of God, and the Word of God will do it. This is the wonderful thing about this whole message. The Word of God is anointed according to Hebrews chapter 4. Amen? It's a self-fulfilling, anointed gospel. And if I send it where I'm supposed to send it, the anointing on it, self-fulfilling anointing, self-producing anointing, self-motivating anointing, will get in that soul and it will do the work. Amen? It will do the work. It will accomplish what God sends it there for. But you can see, can't you, that you need to be mindful of this before you can send the word. If you're not mindful of it, you won't do anything about it. So now as the Holy Spirit reveals the word of God to you, and you can see that that word is supposed to be sent to your soul for the very purpose of converting that soul and making that soul a vibrant participator in the spiritual things that God has called you to, not to be a deterrent or to be at enmity with God, but to be there to participate and to help the work of God to be done in your life, to get you completely compliant to the will of God and whatever God tells you to do. When you realize that, man, it's a joy to send the Word of God to your soul. Isn't it? Because you know what's happening. And look at how easy God makes it. His word is doing the work. He said, my word will not return to me void. Are you sending the word to that sore toe? Are you sending the word of God to that rheumatoid arthritis? Are you sending the word of God to your mind? Are you sending the word of God to your checkbook? You see, if you know what word of God to send, it will not return to God without accomplishing what he sent it to accomplish. See, and my faith should be in what God said. It's not hard to put your faith in what God says. Now, it's hard to put your faith in somebody and them doing what you like for them to do, you know, or putting your faith in your job that is going to allow you to do what you want to do there and make the accomplishments, get the next job, get the promotion. I mean, that's a difficult thing. That takes a lot of prayer. But it don't take no prayer to have confidence in the Word of God. It don't even take, His word is incorruptible. If you can't believe the word of God, I don't know how you can stay saved. I don't see how you can hold your head up and get the strength to come to church if you can't believe the word of God. See, it doesn't take a whole lot of effort. I once was blind, but now I see. I was lost and undone, but now I'm found. Anybody that does that for me, it had to be God. I believe Him. I mean, amen. However you want to say it, amen. I believe Him. And I believe what He's told me, regardless of what I see, despite what I feel. I don't care what I hear from man. I do know what God said. Amen. And I can't help but believe it no matter what it looks like. Because this is what He did for me. I'm a new person. I'm free. Only God could do that. Why wouldn't I believe a God that delivered me from the ravages of sin, took the tentacles of Satan out of my life, set me free, made me a brand new creation in Him? How can I doubt Him? I can say this now. I may not have said it some years ago, but I can say it now. It's impossible for me to disbelieve God. It's absolutely impossible for me to disbelieve God. I'm thoroughly saved. Hallelujah. See? Now, all that being true, let's go to verse 2. Psalms 119. Spend all that time introducing one verse. Again, it starts out, blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied are they who keep His testimonies and who seek, inquire for, and of Him and crave Him with the whole heart. Oh, yeah. Now, see, when you start talking about the heart, what are you talking about? You're talking about the soul, aren't you? That's what you're really talking about, see? Because the soul, the heart, that's the core, that's the base of your desire. Right in there. If there's something God calls you to do and a part of you wants to do it, and then yet there's a part of you that resists it, that's because the whole heart's not in it. I mean, we raise our children up, you know, saying, put your heart in it. Right? Right? We get involved in sports with our kids. And we watch them play sports. And if they don't do good, what's our complaint? Their heart's not in it. Right? Right? And see, you have to... If you're involved in something like sports and you do really good at it, you have to have a heart for it to get out there and bust your tail doing what needs to be done for you to make the points, make the goals, you know, do what you got to bust your behind, man, to be good. And just think when you come up against somebody that's, they're good. You've been watching the tape on them. You done heard about their stats, right? And you've been training, and you know something on the inside of you said, but I can beat him. I know I can. Well, just because you know you can beat him doesn't mean you're going to beat him. You got to get out there with some heart to do it. And it's based on what you know. If you really know it, right, then you'll give your heart to it. You'll give your heart to it. I'll relate back to my track running days, or I'll relate back to a race that I've done, and I can't. That's the best example for me when it comes down to that kind of thing. Because if my heart was really in winning, I communicated something to my body that caused my body to keep stepping and not lose a step. And even though my body was saying, but I hurt, something inside of me would say, it's okay. We're going to win this race, and it's going to be worth it. So keep stepping. Keep running. As a matter of fact, let's pick it up. I mean, there's a communication that goes on the inside of you. There's been times that I've been running that I can tell that the communication is absolutely perfect in my body. Down through my legs, into my knees, into my thighs. Everything is stepping like it's supposed to step, and I can tell it. And I know that I can speed up because the juices, I mean, everything is just flowing like it's supposed to flow. And there's nothing hindering me. And so I just give it all I've got because I want to win. I put my whole heart in it. Now, that's just a physical illustration of what happens in the spirit. Maybe the reason why you're not where you need to be in God today is because your whole heart's not in it. See? Because the soul isn't completely converted to God like it should be. See, we know this here, you know, because we do a lot of teaching on it, that when you're born again, it's your spirit that's reunited with God. You are spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. And if you're born again, it is your spirit that has been reunited with God. But your soul has to be saved, and the scripture tells us, let every man work out his soul salvation with fear and trembling before God. Now, we like to say in the church that so many souls were saved. Praise God. You know? And we have a ball with that. But if that was true and the Lord said, let every man work out his own soul salvation with fear and trembling before God, then you wouldn't need Jesus to get saved. You could work out your own salvation. Would you? So he's talking to a born-again man. A born-again woman. You've been reunited with God, regenerate. Now that that has happened, you can do something about your soul. And I, speaking in the first place for the Lord, I'll teach you how to do it if you'll listen. So no wonder the scripture says so many times, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Because God is working to convert our souls so that our souls can comply with what God wants to do in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God. And our souls will be a great ally, a right-hand man to our born-again regenerate spirit as he conveys to our mind, our will, and our emotions what the will of God is, because we will walk in harmony with God. We will walk as free men, not dominated by anything, not controlled by anything, but the will and the purpose of Almighty God. Amen. Man. That's where God wants us to live. That's his desire. Because there we can have true intimacy with him. We can have true intimacy with him. There won't be anything that will keep us from him. Come on, think about what's keeping you from true intimacy with God. It isn't anything that came from God that keeps you from God. Is it? It's something that you already have that you need to take to the altar. And that's a long trip to the altar because the soul hadn't been converted. It's like leaving like they did to go up to Jerusalem for the yearly sacrifice. You got a long journey. You got your donkey, you got your little, your food in the bags, you know, and your wife is sitting on the donkey's coat and y'all walking along through the desert. And Lord have mercy, it's a long journey, but you know you got to go because that's what Christians do. Amen? But we're living in another generation. We're living in a generation today where you got something faster than a donkey that you can ride. Amen? And you don't have to worry about carrying food because it's already prepared for you and waiting for you when you get there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Look what God wants to do in our lives. Blessed, happy, fortunate to be envied is they who keep his testimonies. Where do you keep his testimonies? Well, you say, well, Pastor, I memorize them. Okay. So that I can quote them. Okay.